go and play with some friends, whether it be playing tennis in the front yard or cricket in the backyard or down the street playing touch football with my friends. I used to love to play sport. But the only real sport that I played sort of on a weekend was soccer. Now, I was a right fullback, and I would sometimes hear when I was playing some of the people standing on the sideline saying, "Get them offside, move forward." And sometimes at the halftime coach prep, the coach would say, "Make sure your fullbacks are in a line so you know you keep them offside and move them out." Now, I have four daughters, and I'm conscious that they don't have to be like me. One of my daughters, in lunchtime, she'll go to the library. And I thought, well, that's great, you know, God makes everybody different. You can spend your time reading books, and that's a delightful thing to do. But yesterday, one of my daughters took up netball. Now, this was her first game, and I have to say, she's a very natural defender. She takes after her dad. So she was she's tall and thin like a mum, and whenever she was defending someone, she would get real close and block the ball so the ball couldn't come to that player. Now, she was so good at it, she was even defending when her team had the ball. And I thought to myself, do I yell out to her and say, "No, you know, Don't defend anymore. Go to a space so someone can pass the ball to you." But I thought, I said, no, I just let her be and just enjoy the game. Now, the team played yesterday and they lost 12-0. So even by half time, they're about 7-0 down. And I'm wondering what the coach going to say to the team at half time. You know, run a little faster. Create more space. Find a bit of territory. Do this better. But all the coach says, "Well done, girls. Good on you. This is great." Because they were doing great. They've never played before. And the purpose of the halftime coach talk was just to encourage them and keep going. Well, likewise, that's what the book of Philippians is about. You see, Paul visited the church in Philippi. He actually planted the church during what's called his second missionary journey, which is recorded in Acts 16 through to 18. Now, when he was there, people accepted the gospel. And then he went on. And now when Paul was writing this letter, he's in prison, probably in Rome. And Paul is writing back to the Philippians, not to rebuke them, but to encourage them. So it would be easy for them to feel downhearted because they know that their friend, their apostle, the person who told them about Jesus, is now in prison. And rather than Paul saying, "Oh, feel sorry for me," Paul is writing back to say, "Keep going. I'm encouraged by you." And that's what Philippians 1, verses 1 through to 11, which we're looking at this morning, will tell us about and remind us that Paul is encouraging the church in Philippi. And that's what I'd like to encourage you with too this morning. Now, the passage is in three paragraphs. There's the introductory section. Then there's a paragraph beginning at verse 3, another paragraph beginning at verse 7, and another paragraph at verse 9. And I'm going to roughly go through those three paragraphs. Well, after the introduction in verses 1 and 2, Paul begins in verse 3, then the body of the letter, saying that I always thank God every time I think of you. And then notice verse 4, every time he says all. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. And then verse 5 gives the reason for his joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from first to last. And then he continues in verse 6 that he's confident that God will continue and finish the work that's in you in order to bring you through to completion. Now, my dad was a builder. He's now retired. And my first job was working for him in my school holidays. Now, when I was about 16, And my dad decided to buy me a computer, and then I went into computer science. Now, I've always wondered whether he got me a computer because building was really hard, and he thought, you know, this is a better workforce, or I wasn't very good at building. I haven't quite worked that out yet. But anyway, my dad built our own house, and I think it's a great house. You know, it had a bedroom for us. You know, it had a pantry for Mum. It had a sunroom. You know, I thought, that's wonderful. And Dad did a lot of the finishing himself. He did the tiling, he did the gyprocking. He did most of it himself. But, you know, our house, in my dad's eyes, was never fully finished. And that's partly because building is really hard. And if you're a builder, you realise that the last thing you want to do after you've had a busy day at work is to come home and do more building at home. But also, too, because my dad was a perfectionist. He had these grand plans that he's going to build an ensuite for Mum off the side of their bedroom. But they never got finished. Now, I never went into building, but I went into a different field. And recently I did a PhD, and I submitted it on the 30th of June. Now, I have to say, I'm very glad the 30th of June came, because that means I could say, well, that's over now. Now, when I look back at it, I think that's not really that perfect. But I'm just glad it's finished. I know I could make it better, but, you know, it's not perfect. Well, the good news is that God is a perfectionist too. And the good news is that God will always make things perfect. And we recognise now that things are not quite perfect. Things are not the way that God always intended them to be. But the promising thing is that God has a plan to make all things perfect. And because God is sovereign, he'll get us there. And while we have our faults, we have anxieties, we sometimes feel down about things, while we sometimes do things wrong and we hurt our friends and those people that we love, while we make mistakes now, the good news is that God has a plan to make us perfect, where we're like Christ, and God will bring forth his fruit because that's his intention in our lives. Well, the second paragraph is a relatively short one. It's just two verses. And in here, Paul says that he has a right to be joyful about them. Because he has, and there's two reasons there in verse 7, because I have you in my heart. In other words, he's right to be joyful. He's right to be glad. He's right to be continually praying for them. Why? Because he loves them. And then the second reason is because God loves them too. They're in the grace of God. He knows that God cares for them. And then he reinforces that in verse 8 by saying that God will, he loves them with the affection that is in Christ Jesus. But once I finished my studies, I took my family on a holiday and we went down to sunny Victoria. Now, on the second night, we stayed in a place called Boyd Town, which is about 10-15 minutes south of Eden. Now, the next day, we were due to go to Phillip Island. And we had to get there by 5 p.m. because that was sunset, and that's when the little penguins come up the beach. So I did my calculations, did my Google whatever, and I realised it was a little over 7 hours. Then I did my maths and calculated backwards. Well, if I leave about 9:30, I'll be driving non-stop for 7.5 hours, but I'll get there. But that's not really practical. So really, I should leave maybe about 8 o'clock, you know, have an hour for lunch and have a couple of stops in between. Well, the problem was that this particular motel that we were staying at, they had free breakfast. And what's more, the children slept in a little bit. So there it was, 8 o'clock, I'm looking at my watch, and the girls are just slowly coming down for breakfast. I said, yes, let's make it quick, girls. Let's make it quick. And then they said, oh, we'll go back for another piece of toast. And I said, no, maybe we can get something on the way, girls. You see, I realised that I was going in a certain direction. I need to encourage them that maybe sometimes we need to give up something in order to get there. You see, once we know that God is in control, and we know that God has inner plan, we can realize that even if we're out without a senior pastor for a while, maybe God is allowing us to give up something for a while to get us where he really wants to be. The comfort is that God is in control. He will bring us to completion, and we're trusting him as we follow his path. Well, the final section in verses 9 through to 11 picks up a couple of ideas which Paul has already said in the opening verses. Verse 9 says, "This is my prayer." Remember back in verse 4, "I always pray for you." Now in verse 9, he's saying what that prayer is. "That their love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight." And then verse 10 shows what that depth of insight is. "They'd be able to discern what is best and is right, so they'll know what is a Christ-like behavior, and then that they'll be blameless on the day of judgment." In other words, they'll act like Christ. They'll know the right thing to do, and they'll begin to act like that. And then verse 11 picks up on what verse 6 has said, where God will continue and bring forth fruit. God will bring forth things to completion. In our backyard, we have a lemon tree, and it's seen better days. Unfortunately, it's been a bit neglected. We don't water it all the time. We did fertilise it about a year ago, but apparently you've got to fertilise it all the time. And the lemons now are quite small. And what's more, the best lemons, the cockatoos get. So you kind of think, well, why am I bothering with it? The cockatoos are going to take it anyway. But recently, we went and visited my parents. And they said, "Why don't you go out in the backyard and get some lemons?" And their lemon tree is a bit like this one. It's filled with fruit. And I wondered myself, well, what's the difference? You know, why is my lemon tree so small and not much fruit? And why is Mum and Dad's lemon tree filled with fruit? Well, I could just say, well, it's, you know, that God's in control and God made that tree that way. And God made my tree that way. And that's true. God did make that tree that way. And God did make this tree this way. But also, too, my parents did a lot of work in the meantime, fertilizing and watering and making sure that tree was in the right bit of sun and so forth. Likewise, as God's church, we're in the sovereignty of God. But also too, we're trusting and doing things. We're studying the scriptures. And we're praying. We're dependent on God through our prayer. We've already heard the importance of prayer a little bit earlier in the service. We are to continue in prayer as we're waiting and trusting in God's sovereignty. Well, some of my daughters like Korean drama. And sometimes I'll knock on their door. And I'll open the door and then they'll be putting their computer screen down. And I'll know they've been watching Korean drama. And I said to one of my daughters, the one who goes to the library and read a book, that you should do a PhD on Korean drama. Now, I'm terrible at English, and so writing a 70,000 word PhD was a real struggle. At school, I did really well at maths. I did 4 years at maths. That was my specialty. But English, I was awful. But my oldest daughter, or sorry, my second daughter, she's really good at English. And so I said, you know, why don't you do a PhD? He said, I don't want to do a PhD, Dad, because I'll just be sick of Korean drama. I don't want to, you know, I want to enjoy Korean drama. You know, I don't want to be something that's, you know, sort of a task that I have to learn. I said, then that's not the case. I've just done a PhD on the pastoral epistles, and I love them even more than when I started. Now, I just want to tell you that in the pastoral epistles, one of the main points is that the church is the family of God. And being a good pastor is to realize that you actually pastor like you are a dad. Now, I'm going to encourage you, one thing is that when I turned up this morning, I just said, when am I on? I actually had no idea what was happening in the service. And everything seems to have happened well and nicely. You know, I didn't do any planning at all for the service. And people chose music. People came up and sang. People produced an order of service. everything happened really well. I'm sure there's going to be a lovely lunch outside. And so this morning I want to encourage you that while you're missing a senior pastor, you're still the family of God. And you're still working well as a family here at Macquarie. I want to encourage you that as you prayerfully wait for God to supply your new senior pastor, to continue to be yourselves. Be family, be praying for one another, be encouraging one another. Step up when you see a need. Suggest something that might need to be done. Work together. Watch out for one another. Be the family of God here at Macquarie, watching out for each other, praying one another, and encouraging and spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you that you are the God of heaven and earth, and you are on that throne of heaven and earth. And we pray, Lord, that you would provide for us a senior pastor here at Macquarie, in your timing, and the person that you choose. Help us, Lord, as your family here, to support one another while we wait. Help us to continue to do outreach. Continue to build your church. Continue to study the Bible. And to continue to pray as you teach your children to do. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Hi everybody. We're going to go straight into our hymn, which Chris is going to lead us in. Thank you.